I know that Gordon was really hoping I would preach about the lattice and the loved one looking through the lattice, and I just thought that was just too much on a hot summer's day. So instead, I'm going to preach on Romans. No one thought I'd do that. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. I am very empathetic to Paul. That doesn't happen very often, mind you. But it does on this summer morning. Because the inability to live up to our own ideals is almost impossible. I bet every one of you has had that situation where you've thought about a great intention and something you really, really believed you would do and wanted to do and felt it was the right thing to do, and it just didn't happen. Or perhaps you did something completely the opposite, which is often the case. That's a daily occurrence in the small things, and unfortunately, more often than we often admit, in the big things as well. That conflict between good intentions and actual deeds is very, very real. And as much as we're always told this growing up, at least I was, trying harder doesn't actually fix it. My grandmother used to say, "The road to hell is paved with good intentions." I see a lot of people nodding. Apparently, my grandmother was not the only one who said that. It really didn't help me at all. In fact, all it did was make me feel worse about myself, worse about my inability to fulfill any of the intentions I ever thought I would have, and that horrible word guilt would creep in because if for no other reason, I was letting my dearly, beloved, saintly, not really, but I thought, grandmother down. How awful. What's really important for us to know is that when Paul is speaking about sin, the things that we're doing that we wish we didn't, that the flesh does, it's a distortion of a relationship. It's not about following a law. It's about the best in relationships that we can have. And not taking care of those relationships is what he's talking about. That is sin. And all of us have three primary relationships: with God, who created us and is creating us and will continue to create us throughout our lives and beyond. With others, those we love, those we don't love. Those who we know well, and those who are strangers to us. Our creation and our world in which we inhabit. And I know every time I turn on my vehicle or do anything, I know that in some way that is harming that relationship. And yet how to live with our creation. And the third relationship, with ourselves. The one that we think if we focus on means that we're going to be selfish and horribly indulgent. And so often we neglect it. And really, that's kind of where it all starts. Because if we don't focus on our health, on our relationship with ourselves in a good way, in a proactive way, with good intention, then the rest falls away. I don't know about you, but for me and the rhythm of my life, by June, I'm pretty much a mess. You know, September, everybody starts out strong, and we go back to work or to school, or even if we're retired, we might take that month to kind of still relax while everyone else is busy working. But there's lots of energy in the fall, and all sorts of good intention, all sorts of goals for the coming year, and off we go together, racing towards Christmas. And we take a bit of a breather, perhaps after Christmas, and reevaluate with our New Year's resolution, and then off we go again in January and February to make it through until the summer. Post-Easter for me is always a bit of a downtime. Not that the work has stopped, but that I am tired. And by the time I get to June, I've pretty much forgotten who I am. I've been worrying about people, about relationships, about buildings, about all sorts of things in the career, the profession, the calling that I have, And in my own life, I've probably neglected all the other relationships because I've been too busy. I haven't had people over for dinner. I haven't made the effort to go out. I haven't called the friend or sent an email that I should have. And God, well, God's there, I'm sure, but I've been so busy working for God that I've forgotten sometimes, frankly. And so by June, I'm done. I'm a mess. And I fortunately learned to recognize that all the relationships were suffering by the time I get to June. So for the last 5 years, I have intentionally taken a weekend, well, not a weekend for you, but a weekend for me, a Friday and a Saturday, leave on Thursday, and go kayak camping. I take everything I need, I go off to my favorite lake, I load it in my boat, and I go off to a campsite at the far end of the lake. And I set up tent, set up everything, and I spend 48 hours there by myself. This year I thought, geez, this is a lot of work. Like, I have to organize my stuff, which is pretty organized. I have to find it. I have to make sure it's all together. I have to think about some food. And, oh, the weather has been really crappy. And why am I doing this anyway? It's just more work. But by the time Thursday came around, I was eager to get going and thought, well, even if the weather's bad, I can always come home. So loaded off my stuff and off I went, got there at a nice time in the afternoon, set up camp, and was so tired knowing that I should put a tarp up because it just might rain. Might rain. But too tired to figure out how to do that, frankly. And went off and had a beautiful dinner in the sunset and enjoyed the evening. Of course, it was torrential rain, lightning, thunder, all night. And I woke up to a very wet campsite and managed to put the tarp up because I'd had enough rest, despite the fact that I'd woken up several times. I was on the ground, of course. It was in a different atmosphere. And it was fascinating to me that the night before, there was a buzz in my head. Like I couldn't stop thinking about things. I didn't think about anything in particular, but I also couldn't stop thinking. I couldn't stop my head. I couldn't think about myself, my relationships, my God, anything. It was just this buzz. And by the next morning, I was able to put the tarp up with no problem. And I didn't have to think. I just went through the motions of living. And it's amazing when we let ourselves do that, when we just give ourselves the space and the time, and we have patience with ourselves, how we can reconnect. And so that by the time that evening came along, after a few more torrential rain showers and so on and so forth, I didn't really care. Because once you are stripped back to being part of the creation that you're part of and reminded how insignificant you actually are in the great scheme of things and how reliant you are on God, because that's all there really is, and talking to yourself is kind of boring after a while, that's who really holds the ground underneath us. Everything changes. At the back of the church a couple of weeks ago, there was a brochure, and there's a few left there today, Find Your Slow Summer. We'll make more for next Sunday, and they're at the back on the right as you go out. And they have really practical ideas about how to find your slow summer. Because maybe you're not like me, and you don't want to go off for 48 hours on your own to a weird and wonderful spot. Maybe you just want to take your shoes off and put your feet in the grass or on the sand. And if you think that you are not able to do that because you can't reach your feet or it would look silly or whatever, find a friend to take your shoes off and put your feet in the grass. What an honor to be with someone when they reconnect with nature. Take one of those 50 suggestions. Do any of them. To find your slow summer, to soak up some vitamin D, to laugh, to rest, to play, to be childlike, as we are told today. We need to have time to allow ourselves to remember who we are, to be embraced by God in whatever way comes to us, to open us up, make us be less self-centered, but bring us closer to who we really are, and then to others, and then to God, because it all gets a lot simpler after that. Many of you probably saw the amazing movie A Beautiful Mind, and John Nash, the main character, is having some difficulties and says he's going to fix it because he can figure it out himself. He can think it out. And the doctor says, you can't reason your way out of this because your mind is where the problem is. Often that's the case for us. Our true selves, by themselves, can't enact good intentions or heal relationships just by trying to figure it out, thinking it out, following a rule. The rescue for that comes from within, not from within, from all of those things that sustain and keep us alive, from God. But we have to be in a space where we can be open to that, to let it happen to us. For some people, they desperately have to get away, like I do, because if I don't get away, I'm going to talk to someone or go out for coffee or do whatever, but I'm not going to take that time. And when we do take that time to have our slow summer or to just stop, because in Canada, we need these 2 months desperately, then we have the chance to experience the grace of God. Anne Lamott says, I do not at all understand the mystery of grace, only that it meets us where we are, but does not leave us where it found us. So this summer, be open to that grace. Ease up. It was wonderful this morning that we had to ask people to sit down. It was time to start. Ease up. Enjoy your coffee. Take your time. Have some lemonade after the service. Talk to the people you never talk to and enjoy it. Sit and drink coffee in the pew. I don't care. I'm pretty sure God is glad that we're here, easing up. Let it soak into your soul. Relax into grace's embrace and feel the healing begin, the healing of restoration, and ultimately the healing of relationships. After all, I don't think Jesus was joking or foolish when he said, come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens. I will give you rest. Amen.